Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christofferson, Michael Brunt here on Tuesday. After a what had been, I thought, you know, Monday afternoon, kind of a quiet day in Nebraska, considering the evaluation period, we're, you know, within 10 days, 8 days now of the signing day. And it just felt really quiet on Monday afternoon. And then at about 5 o'clock, Monday actually started when it came to Nebraska's news and everything going on. And so we figured, why not discuss all of that here on the Husker 24/7 podcast? And I think guys, even though there's a 11-1 starting quarterback on Nebraska's campus, we are going to start with 2024 five-star Dylan Raiola. Steve Wilpon put in a crystal ball for Nebraska to end up with Dylan Raiola, and I am I'm just going to open it up at that. What were your thoughts when you read that, Michael Brunts?
It's kind of like the wave, kind of like you can see it coming to the shore, but like the deluge of text messages started like immediately after, Steve put in his crystal ball. And, it's funny because we started the day talking about Jeff Sims going into the portal, and then all of a sudden, you know, that happened. I can't recall something that just like with the snap of a finger just was off and running. It was like a horse race started.
The closest I have to it would have been sitting there and just randomly getting the email that Nebraska had hired Mike Riley.
Yeah.
Like that is the closest equivalent I have to like my brain just being like, wait, what? This? And it's just like you can't even formulate real thoughts because you don't even really realize what you're looking at or what you're reading. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the amount of text that I'll even say this. I had a text from Brunts that just said, what is going on? I mean, like that was one of the first texts I saw, too, after all of this happened. So
you didn't have to Google Dylan Raiola, though.
Yeah, no, I didn't have to Google Mike Riley either. I knew who he was.
Well, no, it was like that one. Really?
Not the guy who works for the World Herald.
Yeah.
That's the closest equivalent I have to just being completely shell-shocked by something. And it's not even, I mean, with all the respect to Steve Wilpon, it's not even necessarily the news yet. Like he hasn't committed to Nebraska. You know, this isn't final. And so there's still a lot that has to happen for this to get over the finish line by next Wednesday. But for Nebraska to sort of be completely out of the picture, to all of a sudden looking like the front running location for what is currently the number one quarterback in the country in the 2024 class for a team that has been so quarterback starved. I mean, it's remarkable. BC, what were your thoughts yesterday afternoon?
Same as you guys. I think that the thing I always remember, it will be one of those days, like 5 years from now, you're still thinking about when, oh yeah, that blockbuster sort of headline crossed everybody's screen and all of college football was talking about it. That's the thing that was, you know, we're like, they're talking about Nebraska recruiting here 8 to 9 days from early signing day. You're getting people from every corner weighing in on it, doing wrestling gifts that I think Brunson, you would appreciate, about how Rule's getting in the ring and mixing it up and stuff like that. So it was a day that I can't really compare to anything else. And as you said, there's still, you got to put the period on the end of the sentence with this thing at this point. So we don't want to go too far yet, but it sure looks like it's headed a certain way. And, as we wrote on our site, you know, like 4 days ago, you had Dylan Ryle, you know, tweeting at KJ Bolden, a 5-star recruit who's visiting Georgia, about joining the Georgia family. And now this is out there. So it was one of those things that I think caught a lot of people off guard, not just in our area code, but also down in Athens as well.
Yeah, it is definitely, it's a national college football story, and then you just throw in all the levels to it. I mean, with the Raiola family and Nebraska having Donovan Raiola as their offensive line coach, and Nebraska's just general poor quarterback play. Brunts mentioned this, Jeff Sims is in the portal. And oh, by the way, as all of this happens, Kyle McCord is on Nebraska's campus as a potential transfer, you know, as well. So there's just a lot of things happening at once. Before we get into the McCord stuff, what would the addition of Raiola mean for this Nebraska class overall, Brunts?
Yeah, I mean, it's even hard to put it in context because right now, it feels like there's kind of a shift going on in Nebraska's quarterback room. You've got Jeff Sims in the portal. Chuba Purdy and Heinrich Harburg are, you know, with Nebraska right now. Purdy's going to be a grad transfer, so there's or graduate, so that option's there, I guess, if he wants it. But, you know, to me, you're building a little bit more for the future. I mean, I think Nebraska feels great about Daniel Kalen. And what not only he did to build this class, but also what his long-term, you know, picture looks like. We haven't really heard from him since everything happened. But, you know, I think right now what Nebraska has the opportunity to do is you have the opportunity to feel pretty good about where things are going in 24 if you're able to get McCord over the finish line. And you're also, by the way, building with a pretty good potential quarterback in Dylan Raiola, and also with Daniel Kalen in the class too. So it's the narrative around that room has shifted a lot in the last 48 to 72 hours. I mean, it's funny, like you said. I mean, you have McCord on campus, a proven starter, a guy that's played in really big games and played really well in big games, as Brian kind of pointed out in a column he wrote last night. I think it completely shifts the potential narrative on what that room kind of looks like going forward, because there's been a lot of questions about not only Nebraska, what it's going to look like going forward, but also just kind of the way that, you know, Nebraska in 2023 chose to kind of move forward with that quarterback group. So it's significant. There's no question about that.
Brian, what does a spring look like if Nebraska has Kyle McCord, Dylan Raiola, Daniel Kalen all added to the mix? Like, what does that sort of look like as they kind of put together what 2024 and beyond could be for this Nebraska program?
Well, that would be an ideal setup, because actually it would be a situation where I don't think there'd be much friction, if you know what I mean, where it wouldn't be a deal where everyone would kind of, I think, understand what the pecking order is supposed to be for the fall ahead. You still obviously have them compete and all of that. But it would be the perfect scenario where you've got the veteran hand in McCord. Ideally teaching the young guys some stuff, and you're seeing who can grow the best behind the scenes over the course of that year as you go into 25 then. And then they naturally hand the McCord in this scenario would naturally hand the baton to the next guy who wins the job. And you feel like, man, you're cooking with gas then. So that scene is a nice looking deal, no matter what Purdy or Harburg would decide to do. Which obviously you wonder what's going through their minds as they're watching this all transpire over the last day. That's always something you got to factor in. And Purdy had a nice little end of the season, it felt like, and had some momentum. So that's another storyline to this. Obviously, what Danny Kalen is thinking is another storyline after, you know, all he's done for this class since May, and then Ryla maybe jumping into it late. So all interesting stuff. But if you give me McCord, Ryla and Kalen out there in the spring, that's how could you want it any better than that? I mean, Purdy, that would be the only other thing that I would say. Like, if you have a Purdy or Harburg, and then you've got, you know, one other kind of middle class guy in there, but they have an opportunity here to pull off something that, like, 2 weeks ago, both of them, I would have said no way. Like, I would have said no way about McCord 2 weeks ago. I would have said no way on Ryla, obviously. So this is kind of stunning when you track your mind back just like 10 days or so, and now where we're at.
Yeah. Bruns, do you think that Steve Addazio would say what's better than this if he was looking at that picture of McCord, Ryla, Kalen walking out there for spring practice?
Yeah. Those would definitely be three guys being dudes, without a doubt.
When's the last time you thought about Steve Addazio?
It's been a little while.
He's bumming around the Mountain West somewhere.
Still, yeah, around. No. I thought he ended up at like A&M for a brief period again.
We'll have to look that up after the show.
I'm not up on my Addazio. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a pretty good look. And, you know, Nebraska still has, you know, some things to kind of figure out, moving pieces with the coaching staff too, where, you know, Josh Martin still has that interim tag at tight end. So, you know, that picture on offense could look a little bit different as well. But yeah, I mean, Brian's absolutely right. I mean, even, you know, going into last weekend where you're kind of thinking like, okay, is Nebraska going to be able to get, you know, a Leavitt visit, or is Blake Shapen the guy? Like, that's how much the conversation shifted in the last 24 hours.
For some of us, Blake Shapen was never the guy. Just putting that out there.
So some of us had to come to terms with that.
Okay. I asked this on the message board, and it took off. And I think I honestly think you could have a 45-minute conversation about this alone. So I want each of you to talk about it. We'll start with BC. How do you feel about Nebraska's approach this December to the transfer portal, as they are, you know, starting to put things together with the quarterbacks? And then you have Julian Fleming, we haven't even mentioned yet, the Ohio State wide receiver, expected to be on campus today, joining Kyle McCord, who was on campus yesterday, their teammates at Ohio State. How do you feel like Nebraska has attacked the transfer portal? But I think more importantly than just that end of it, what do you think it tells you about Matt Rhule and his ability to accumulate talent, that we're having these conversations right now on December 12th, coming off of a 5-7 season that featured three quarterbacks and an ungodly amount of turnovers?
Yeah. Well, I think this biggest statement obviously is with the quarterbacks they've looked at in the portal. And I think they're flexing a little bit with what they can do, probably NIL wise too, in this situation. It probably helps that this is not a portal cycle where you have to add 10 to 15 guys. And so you could maybe have a little more capital on a smaller pool of players. Maybe it's three or four guys. Maybe it's one wide receiver, one quarterback, one running back. There's a DB coming in, you know, from where is he coming from? St. Francis.
St. Francis.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I remember from the text.
Yeah.
Like the St. Francis in Pennsylvania, that college.
Yeah.
The St. Francis Red Flash, I think.
That's who it is. Yeah. Well, so
played Nebraska basketball in 2004. I remember Randy Lee calling the game. Nebraska scored like 100 Lee. Points.
Yeah. Randy Lee reference.
I'm a big Randy Lee guy.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that he called hoops. That you're right. But yeah, I wrote this in the column last night. In general, I've probably fallen into this group a little bit too, where I feel like with Husker football, it's gone to such a point where sometimes you're like, it's kind of like, let's ease it in the hole. I use the 5-foot putt analogy for me. It's like when I have a 5-foot putt, I'm always trying to like trickle it in in the corner of the cup, left or right break, you know, where it just gets that one extra spin. But at the very worst, I'm going to just tap it in like happy, and I'm going to get my two putt, and I'm fine with that. But that doesn't work. That's not going to get you to the top. You got to take the break out of it. You got to be aggressive. You got to attack. And I think with the quarterbacks in particular, they've shown that's how they're going to be here. We wondered that maybe 2 weeks ago, Rule had the quotes and everybody was analyzing what it meant. He was just giving you information, as it turns out. This is how much they cost, by the way. And Nebraska's gone all in. And I think this fan base needed to see that, frankly. It's given people a boost in their step to see that that's going to be the approach. There's a weakness here that needs addressed, and they're attacking it full bore. Now, the other thing I'd add, it looks good as we're having this podcast right now, but you got to finish it. I'm one of those who's like, let's see this all come together, and let's see like Kyle McCord tweet out, like, I'm going to be a Husker, you know, let's see all that stuff before we have the parade. But I do love how the aggression that's been shown. And I think the fan base really needed this, like to see it from this staff, like that they were going to go about it this way.
I'm now imagining that was it the Capital City Parade that they used to do in like December? I'm imagining a float with Matt Rhule waving to like the 57 people that show up, and you got Dylan Raiola on it and Kyle McCord throwing little footballs out to the crowd. This is a great idea, BC. I like this.
Julian Fleming's on another float, and
people McCord, are throwing the footballs back to him.
McCord throws it up, and Fleming goes in one, hands it, and flips it to one of the young receivers. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
We need a parade.
I got the whole garbage sack of ticker tape over here. I'm ready to go.
That and our dog halftime idea of having a foster dog like going to families. That would be pretty good.
We got plenty of ideas here on the Husker 24/7 podcast. All right, Brunts, same kind of question to you. I mean, what do you feel like you've learned about Nebraska's portal approach, their collective approach? I mean, how they've kind of gone about attacking the weaknesses of their roster now that we're in the offseason?
I think they benefit too from just their overall kind of worldview about how you manage rosters, right? Like, whenever,
figure it out later.
Kinda, but I think like if you fancy yourself a developmental program and you're going to retain a ton of guys and retain a ton of young guys and bring them through and, you know, turn them into good football players, I think that thinking of yourself that way and kind of managing the roster in that way allows you to kind of be where Nebraska is now, where you're focused on such a small number of positions that you're having to fill. Like, I think just with the nature of college football now, you're probably always going to be looking for a quarterback. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. But for Nebraska, I mean, you're probably looking at what? Like a quarterback, a wide receiver, a running back, linebacker, maybe a defensive back. I mean, it's, I think this year and the kind of list of wants and needs is probably more on par with what we'll see going forward versus last year, where it was extremely like, we need to get 12 to 15 guys and we have all these things we have to figure out. So I think that allows them to be a little bit more efficient with NIL. I think it allows them to be a little bit more aggressive too, because you're not having to run all over the country, getting a defensive back, a linebacker, a defensive lineman, all this other stuff. And I think that's good for a place like Nebraska that has resources, is not afraid to use them. I think Matt Rhule's commentary about what a quarterback costs was maybe a little bit of a call to action as well, you know, kind of looking back on it. So I think the approach is a good one. I mean, I think it's a little bit dangerous for a program like Nebraska to be going into the portal having to find 10 to 15 guys every year. I don't think that's sustainable, and I don't think that allows you to have any kind of sustained success either.
I also just think it gets into the issue where if you have to get 10 to 12 guys and you have to provide some sort of NIL for all of them, then you're taking away from the overall base that you can kind of pay a player. If you only need to get four or five pieces and you have a large amount of money to do it, and you feel comfortable with doing this while hoping it doesn't upset your roster. I mean, that's kind of the part of it where I think the approach that they have is built from the culture that they've kind of established in this first year. Like, I think they have guys fired up to play football for 2024, even though it's December 12th of 2023. Like, I think they really believe over in North Stadium. Well, they're not North Stadium anymore, I guess. They believe over in their new football facility that things have, you know, the record was what it was at 5-7. But they feel like they're a significantly better football team than their record would indicate. And I think that there's a lot of hunger over there. And I think there's just a lot of, like, trust in what they went through, I guess. And some of that, I think, is if you have all these defensive players, it's hard not to feel pretty good about the season they had. But also, if you were an offensive guy and you're a younger guy, you've got a lot of opportunity that you maybe weren't going to get elsewhere. And, you know, you still managed to put up a 5-win season despite the fact that you turned it over 25 times every game. So it's a I just think there's a lot of a confidence in those walls. And I think that makes it easier to go out and add pieces and bring them through. And, you know, if you're meeting with other players and they're giving you the straight on what this coaching staff is like, whereas with previous staffs, you maybe be a little concerned about how that would actually go. With this one, you got to feel like everything seems to be headed in the right direction. Now, as Brian said, they have to, you know, just like going 3-0 in the month of October and setting yourself up for sure to get to a bowl game, there's still the finishing part of it. Like, Nebraska staff has to finish out with Kyle McCord. They have to finish out with Julian Fleming. They have to finish out with Dylan Raiola. They have to finish out with whatever pieces that they're going to add. And then they have to incorporate and you know, figure it out on the field too. But this is only a portion of the job. They have to actually go add these players, put them on their roster, and then coach them through to have success. But it's certainly a great start here. Let's take a quick timeout. When we get back, we're going to talk about two players on the roster that have determined they will be coming back for next season in Bryce Benhart, Isaac Gifford, what that means for Nebraska. We'll get into a little bit more of the recruiting and what's going on here in December as well. You're listening to the Husker 24/7 podcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so I mentioned two players. This was buried yesterday on Monday on a day in which, you know, there was about 14 things that happened after 5 o'clock. This was one of them that had nothing to do with Dylan Raiola at all. And Nebraska got some pretty seismic news from two players that I thought, you know, if you were going to make a list of guys, you know, we always do before the season, the 25 most indispensable. Maybe we need to do like a post-mortem of the season, and we do the 25 players that absolutely showed out for Nebraska in 2023. And I would say Isaac Gifford and Bryce Benhart are in the top 10 without question. To me, I don't know where you guys land on that, but to me, both of them are top 10 players for the 2023 season. Nebraska has both of them coming back. We'll divide and conquer here. Brunts, Isaac Gifford, what does it mean for Tony White's defense to have Isaac Gifford returning to his Rover role?
Yeah, first of all, I like the idea of the updated indispensable list. You guys are just hammering the good ideas today between
them. I like to throw ideas out. I don't like to follow up on them. So if I have people that like to follow up, I'm very good at saying things, not so great at the follow up.
I feel like the indispensable list is more likely than the parade, but I can be
the parade is a little out of my hands.
It's a small parade. You could do it around kind of by the Innu Coliseum, just right there.
Yeah.
Work the dogs in for the parade too.
I can picture this.
Yeah. I think Gifford's top five. Like I think he's that important. Yeah. I mean, if you look at what he did last year, you know, Nebraska played a ton of guys on defense. That's been very well documented. He led the team in tackles by, what was it, 30? Like, it was more than 30, I think. So, yeah, that's huge. I don't know that Nebraska had a rover waiting in the wings to step in and replace him next year if he decided to move on. I mean, I don't think that there was anybody that you'd be like, okay, that's the next guy. I was looking at the depth chart last night pre-Iowa, and it was Kobe Brett's. So,
you know who I think it's going to be by the time they need him?
Who's that?
I think it's going to be Donovan Jones, but we can have that conversation another time.
Yeah, yep. You got Rex Guthrie coming in too, so they've got a few guys.
They have some very interesting secondary pieces in that class.
Yeah, but I mean, you look also what they're losing in the secondary. Phelan Sanford's gone, a guy who played a lot of snaps. Omar Brown, who I still don't think gets the recognition he probably deserves for the way he played at times last season.
He was great last year.
You're losing Quentin Newsome out of that secondary as well. So having that guy back there to kind of direct traffic, I think, is huge. And, you know, he was extremely productive. I think he played really good football. It's funny, too. I mean, if he just gets, you know, makes a couple more picks, I think his season looks even better than it did. And those opportunities Nebraska's were there. Too. So, yeah, I mean, that was big for that defense. I mean, now you can kind of look at it and say you've got the defensive line where you're feeling pretty good. Linebacker is a bit of a question mark for me about kind of depth, especially the interior linebacker spots. But Gifford coming back, I think that secondary looks so much better. Plus another full off season of Buford to kind of get up to speed. You figure out what you're going to do with Malcolm Hartzog. Tommy Hill was coming on, so that was a big addition there.
All right, BC, you get Bryce Benhart.
Well, Bryce, this last year, if you go back before the season, I think we all agreed that the strength and conditioning program with Corey Campbell had really worked for him. Like, he leaned out and like he looked. We would write this and tell everybody he looks different, but everybody's like, yeah. I've seen him play. You know, there was a lot of skeptics about him. So if you went through everybody on this roster, probably nobody, well, I don't know, I'm maybe speaking too dramatically there, but he would be one of the top three people you'd say changed like the narrative on who he is as a player with the fan base. He was one of their most consistent linemen. I think the flexibility that he gained through his, whatever he did through strength and conditioning and nutrition work, showed in how he was able to match up against those rush ends. In the past, he would have these games where it would just all go to heck for him. I mean, it'd be two or three times the guy would get away and get a clean shot on the QB, and those mostly disappeared from his side. And so I think he can play at the next level, but it's probably smart by him to do one more year, just build on it. And he can probably, I mean, if they have a good season, he can be an all-conference type player. Like, he has that in him to be like a second-team all-conference guy. I really think that. So, huge news. I also think Matt Rhule had a quote earlier this year. He was talking about Gifford, actually. He was saying how Gifford got to the point this season where he knows he's good. Like, where a guy knows he's good, and when you know you're good, if you have a bad play, you don't let it just bring you down so much. You're like, I'm still good. I'll bounce back. I think Bryce can do that next year.
I was doing the math. Those two guys combined for 1,440 snaps last year. Like, yeah. I believe Benhart was tops on the offense, and I think Gifford was also tops on defense. So that's significant.
And I'm sorry I was losing my voice there, but you know I get emotional when I talk about Bryce's development.
To give BC a slight break there so he can you know drink some water,
have some water.
I think one of the cool things about this is just how uniquely different these two players are in terms of, you know, how they were viewed when they came into the program, and now you can sort of look at them as critical pieces on both sides of the ball. I mean, BC's talking about that Bryce Benhart could potentially earn all conference things. And I can imagine people just having a tough time believing that. Bryce Benhart was a top 100 player in the country. This was like a top tackle when Nebraska got him in 2019. Like, this was a huge first year commitment. Like, people are going to get real mad now. Grant Bricks is what Bryce Benhart was in 2018. Like, that was the comparison. Like, Nebraska won that. It was a Midwestern recruiting battle. They beat out, you know, Wisconsin and Notre Dame. I think Tennessee got involved in there as well. But that's who Nebraska had to beat out for Bryce Benhart. Like, that's the level of talent. And actually, Bryce Benhart is like 100 spots higher on the top 247 than what Grant Bricks will be. But that's what we're talking about here. And so sometimes it takes a long time for that talent to manifest itself. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where you have Isaac Gifford, who was was he a blue shirt or a gray shirt? He had some sort of shirt.
Blue shirt.
Yeah. So he ends up getting a scholarship after at least one season walking on at Nebraska. And this was a guy who wasn't heavily recruited and just has built himself into being kind of a machine there on the defensive end. And another guy that I think, you know, all conference honors are around the corner for. And I could see him having an even better season in 2024. So I just think it's a great look at sometimes how your roster comes together and you get these wildly different players, but they have huge values in their own right. And everyone's development is completely different. I mean, Bryce Benhart's going to be a grown man playing right tackle for Nebraska. That is such a huge advantage that they're going to have. This is a guy that, I mean, if you know, we go back and we add it up, he's got to be over 40 starts at this point in his career as he's going to go into his, you know, final season in 2024. Like, that's huge, that amount of experience playing right tackle in this conference. And BC talked about it. He reshaped himself and looked like a completely different person last spring. I mean, that's when I was kind of like, okay, this is at least interesting. You know, like, no one was louder than I was about how bad the offensive line was last year. And so I will be the first to say they played significantly better than their 2022 mark. There's still a world for them to grow. Like, they're, you know, same with Bryce Benhart, but it should give people some confidence that this thing can look even better in 2024. Even if the schedule gets a little bit better, Nebraska's roster should be getting better. And so therefore Nebraska should be moving up and the expectations should be higher. So I thought last night, obviously the Rayola thing is raging on. But I thought that was huge news to get those two players back. I want to talk about some other guys in the portal, and I want to start with Julian Fleming, who we've mentioned a little bit here so far. Brunts, what do you think it would mean for Nebraska to pick up Julian Fleming? And then BC, if you need a prompt here to look something up, I'm going to go to you for the defensive back that's going to be visiting this weekend. So okay. Give a little bio on him, if you would. But Brunts, tell us about Julian Fleming.
Yeah, Fleming's a guy, you know, very well-regarded recruit, played at Ohio State. Correct me, did he have some injury issues?
Yeah, he's had some injuries off and on.
But a guy that, from what I'd kind of picked up around our network, was a guy who is not kind of that, doesn't have the attitude, I guess, of a wide receiver one. He's like a very willing blocker, a very physical wide receiver. And, you know, I think when you kind of where he would potentially fit in for Nebraska, I mean, Nebraska obviously feels very good about their young wide receivers. You've got Garcia Castaneda coming back off of a knee. There's a lot of question marks in that group, and having somebody that, you know, has played at a school that just pumps out high quality wide receivers, I mean, that would be huge. Obviously, you know, his experience with McCord, if that comes to fruition, would be big as well. So, you know, I think that's a spot where every year Nebraska's needed to kind of find a guy that can come in and be effective right away. I think he would certainly fit that bill. And, you know, I think, again, as much as we talked about Nebraska being kind of aggressive with the way that it pursued quarterbacks, I think they zeroed in on him pretty quickly as a potential guy to come in and really be that top wide receiver that would buy a little bit of time for Malachi Coleman, for Jaden Doss, for Jalen Lloyd to continue to grow without having to do it as that, you know, number one wide receiver.
What's the landscape kind of look like for Julian Fleming in Nebraska in terms of who they've got to beat out?
Well, he was at Penn State last week. That was one that I know for sure. He's a Pennsylvania native or a native of the Northeast. So that was, that was a school that was right there for him during his first recruiting process. But I think Nebraska benefits a little bit with the timing of things. I mean, we're getting down to the last week of official visits. A lot of these guys that are in the portal now are making decisions and finding out what their home's going to be. And I think that benefits Nebraska certainly to be right there in that mix as the clock is kind of ticking.
All right, BC, what can you tell us about our newfound defensive back friend from St. Francis?
Well, I'll keep it short because I obviously just looked up some information
on
him.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that was the idea. I wasn't going to you as our expert for all things St. Francis.
Bly Hill is his name. He's 6'3", about 170, 175, had 8 pass breakups, a couple of picks last year in 9 games. He's long, I know that. And, rangy guy. And obviously, whenever you see an offer or not an offer, but a visit like this to a guy from the portal, whatever information the staff got on him or however they picked him out, he's a native of Baltimore originally. There's always got to be something extra to a guy like that to bring about that he's coming in December 15th through the 16th for a visit. So, clearly he was a guy amongst the DBs that are out there that they handpicked as he's got some traits that we think can fit very well here. I did watch like 4 minutes of his film last night, and that's all like his best stuff, of course, the huddle highlights. And I can see it off of that. He's just one of those guys who, has that frame where he's probably difficult to catch passes on because he's got such long arms and all that stuff and has all the other skill sets. So, interesting, note from last night that got you talk about something that got buried. That would have been something like on a normal Monday or Tuesday, we would have really hyped up, and it was like the 12th thing last night. But something to keep in mind, and it also signals, which isn't a shock, that they might look at a DB in the portal.
I feel like they should. I mean, in a corner makes a lot of sense to me.
And I do too.
The other thing about this that I like, their connections out in Pennsylvania are vast, and the East Coast are vast. So there's definitely some schools out there where they're going to be maybe underlooked because people aren't as familiar with them. And so they would have, I think, access to coaches or people that would have pretty good eyes on what they've seen from this guy. So I think, and I mean, Julian Fleming's another wide receiver from Pennsylvania, Kyle McCord, quarterback from Pennsylvania. Like they're not afraid to use their connections to Philadelphia and the state of Pennsylvania, and they have quite a few on staff and in their recruiting department. So I like sometimes that Nebraska has this like concentrated, you know, they could probably find some guys off the East Coast and then talk to them about Nebraska and sell them a little bit on that. And I think this could be one of those situations for sure.
I've thought all along, you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I've thought all along 5 is the max, like portal additions. So, I mean, if you're thinking about QB, receiver, maybe a back, maybe one defender, 4, is that about where we're at, you think? Or what do you guys think?
Yeah, and there's still, I mean, we haven't talked about them at all. I don't know that we have a lot to offer. At least I don't have a lot to offer other than we know his brother. Princely Umamielen is in the portal, and there's almost no way Nebraska would say no to that if he's interested. So,
right.
I mean, it is a deal where that is a guy that I think you have to keep a close eye on. I mean, I feel the shades of the Darian Daniels type situation there with Princely, and he's got his younger brother, Prince Wills, on Nebraska's defensive line. He's friends with Chief Borders, who came over. I mean, there's more than just a little smoke, I think, with that one too. And so that could be another guy. We haven't, the running back is a thing that we have not seen pop up really with Nebraska. Yeah. And that is the one that I have. I mean, I'm sending emails to random accounts that, you know, claim to be working with some of these transfer running backs and just trying to get any information I can about where Nebraska might be at in this process. And I've had a tough time uncovering anything on what Nebraska is doing with its transfer portal running back search. And they may not be looking that hard. I don't know, but obviously Trevor Etienne blew up last night and I don't know what, if anything that is. So, but I guess that's another name and another Florida guy on top of it.
The back spot also feels like one where you could get a little bit more aggressive with it after bowl season too. Like, just kind of looking at what's out there now, like it feels like there's still more down the road there than maybe at other spots. Like less of a, like the time frame on that particular position is maybe not as sped up as it is for quarterbacks or wide receivers or things like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my sense of it.
And you know, I never worry. I always say when it's this number discussion about getting to 85, they'll figure it out somehow, some way. But it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch how that actually happens, because the numbers are, they don't match right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, I would caution people to not spend too much brain power on what Nebraska's numbers are ultimately going to be, because I think this is a lot of kind of figuring it out as you go. And there could be guys that just end up off the roster that aren't playing football anymore, that never go into the portal and you don't hear about it. And we saw that this summer. Like, there's a lot of different ways that they'll get this thing down to the 88 that they need to be at. And it's going to be an adventure. I mean, this is as unique of a December as I've ever covered. I feel like that hasn't involved a coaching change, right? Like, can you, and we're on day 12. There's obviously anything can change here in the next week. So it's been pretty fascinating to me what has occurred here for Nebraska in terms of this month and everything else. Anybody else that we haven't gotten to? We haven't talked a lot about the high school guys. I think we're going to do another podcast later this week, so we'll kind of cement what the visit weekend looks like. They should have at least a few guys on campus. There's some that I'm trying to get some confirmation on as to what their plans are. But we'll be able to talk on that. And then, you know, pretty soon we're going to be past signing day and we're going to be discussing the fact Nebraska has like 8 early enrollees showing up, plus all their transfer portal guys. The offseason videos are coming. Like, we're marching along. It's only just a few weeks ago that we were coming off of Nebraska with yet another mind-numbing loss in the final seconds of a game. And here we are in near mid-December and things are rolling for Nebraska. Anything you guys want to add to finish up? Brunts, what do you got?
Yeah, mat drills. Those start soon. Get ready for that.
Maybe that was the key to success, the mat drills.
Yeah. Mat drills. It's funny, like, you know, think about what's happened in the last, 3 weeks? You get the Ty Robinson return news. You get Tony White. The Tony White, you know, is he, isn't he thing. That feels like ages ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was, you had to kind of survive that. And, you know, since then, it's just been a rocket ship for Nebraska. Who did USC even end up with as their D coordinator? I forget. The UCLA guy?
They got the guy from crosstown.
And then they got the North Dakota State head football coach as their linebacker coach now. And that got announced after North Dakota State absolutely pants South Dakota in a playoff game. What a weird you got to feel a little bit for the FCS playoffs. You got players just going into the portal while their team's playing in the playoffs, coaches leaving. It's kind of a mess. There's no like perfect time for the portal in the college football world, though. There really isn't. BC, what do you got?
I've said all that I need to say. So I don't think I need to say one more word.
All right. You're getting nothing more from BC and you're going to like it. All right. For Brian Christopherson, Michael Brunson, Mike Schaefer, we're Husker 24/7. Be sure to check out everything we have going on at Husker247.com. You know, that was the original source of the Dylan Rayola bomb that went off at 5 o'clock last night. could be found at Husker 24/7. Plenty of coverage as we track everything with Rayola, Kyle McCord, Julian Fleming, everything going on this week. Be sure to stop by the website. We'll have plenty of coverage on that. Basketball still rolling along. They're coming off of a big win. BC and I are going to record a basketball podcast. It'll be hitting your ears here sometime soon this week as well. So there'll be coverage of that. And, you know, anything else that happens with Nebraska, you can find the coverage at Husker 24/7. We will catch you next time.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.